Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and I'll be your guide today on our journey in 2 Timothy chapter 1 as we journey through the Word. Have you ever had an adrenaline rush? What triggered it? I'm guessing it was fear. Fear triggers a fight or flight mechanism in your body that causes you to sink or swim. It's the last minute, last resort turbo boost your brain unleashes to save your life or someone else's. But what about facing spiritual challenges? Is there any kind of spiritual adrenaline rush that God supplies? Like an extra boost? A strength on our own? A greater ability than we ourselves possess? Whether it's Popeye eating spinach, Voltron uniting the lions, He-Man holding his magic sword aloft, or Luke connecting to the Force, there's something in us that intrinsically knows that there is a greater power that we were meant to be operating on to handle the challenges ahead. And that's exactly what 2 Timothy chapter 1 is all about. Paul is writing young Timothy to tell him, buck up and get ready for some hard times there, camper. And Timothy is going to need some extra help from the Holy Spirit if he's going to stay in the fight until the bell dings. It's the spiritual equivalent of Rocky's second win that results in his opponent knocked out on the floor in the final round. Well, let's jump in and get ready to swing. Paul writes in verse 3, I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Paul could say he served God with a clean conscience, just as my forefathers did, because he didn't waver or falter but stood up for Jesus in a hostile world. Before Paul, stretching back thousands of years, was a line of forefathers, heroes really, who'd served God in dangerous times, an ancestry including Abraham, Noah, Joseph, Samuel, David, Daniel, and many more who stood before kings and didn't back down. Timothy, reading that line, knows that Paul was faithful and suffered for the gospel as his forefathers did. In fact, Paul's actually writing this very letter that Timothy's reading from prison. The ancestors Paul mentioned stood before kings sometimes unflinchingly, sometimes with knees knocking together, and sometimes with a mixture of both. But in the end, they stood. And Paul was the next link in that chain, writing to Timothy, asking him to stand right alongside him in verse 8. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Paul is inviting Timothy to suffer like someone inviting you to jump into the water when you're afraid it's going to be too cold. Don't be ashamed, Timothy, not of me, not of the gospel. And not being ashamed can be hard. We don't want to be ashamed of Jesus. But if we're honest, sometimes we cave to peer pressure. We don't speak up when we should, and we wimp out. Paul has always believed in Timothy. And that hand that reached out to him so many times to include him in ministry and stretch him in ways he never imagined he could be stretched reaches out to him again through this letter and says, join me again, Timothy. Join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Well, why does Paul keep mentioning the power of God? How does that help in suffering? God's power helped Paul's suffering. It meant to Paul that he wasn't suffering alone. It meant that God was with him, giving him a boldness and strength that he didn't naturally possess by himself. And at the end of this letter, Paul will say, at first, all forsook me. No one stood by me, but the Lord stood by me. But this wasn't just for Paul alone. Paul writes Timothy that Timothy himself needed to tap into the Spirit's power too. In verse 6, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Fan into flame the gift of God? What is the gift of God? Well, it was the gift of the Holy Spirit that appeared over the heads of the 12 disciples at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Remember back in Acts chapter 1 when Jesus said, not many days from now, you will receive the promise of the Father. You will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then you will be my witnesses from Jerusalem Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus speaks about those geographical areas as an outward spread of the gospel across the map. And when the Spirit came, the 12 saw tongues of fire over their heads, symbolizing that the gospel would spread like a wildfire. And as the wind blew through that room, the fire seemed to spread, taking them out into the temple courts. And the fire spread that day among the nations of those who were gathered in Jerusalem for the Passover. Just like a real forest fire, the gospel started to spread. But they themselves were filled with boldness and a help beyond what they naturally, normally possessed. I mean, Peter had never led 3,000 people to Jesus before that day. But going forward, that wouldn't be so unusual. Timothy had within him a smoldering of that same boldness. There was a gift there, but it started to wane. The fire had waned into embers over time, still smoldering, but barely lit. Fan the gift into flame, Timothy. But how? Well, for the disciples, they had to lean into prayer in Acts chapter 1. And prayer does a funny thing. It kills self-reliance and creates more dependence upon the Holy Spirit. You see, when we rely on ourselves, we get timid, fearful, and afraid. But when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're filled with power, love, and self-discipline. Look at verse 7. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Let me repeat that because it's so important. Relying on the Holy Spirit and not our own ability fills us with power, love, and self-discipline. And man, you're going to need all three of those when you're scared to be a witness for Jesus. Power. You need that extra amount of boldness, that extra gas in the tank. Love? Well, that makes it so much easier when you can love the people persecuting you, just like Jesus did when he was being crucified. And how about self-control? The third one. Well, that's kind of what keeps you from turning and running. And the disciples got afraid, by the way, not just at the beginning of the book of Acts, but partway through too. And in Acts chapter 4, they got a top-up of the Spirit's emboldening power, just like Paul is hoping Timothy will get here. After being jailed, flogged, and warned not to speak about Jesus anymore, Acts 4 tells us, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God more boldly. So Paul is telling Timothy, you're going to need that, mate. And you know what? We all do. Samson needed extra strength. David needed protection armor couldn't provide. And Solomon needed wisdom beyond his brain capacity. And the Spirit's anointing will provide what we're lacking too. Timothy needed extra boldness and courage to suffer for the gospel. But he wouldn't be alone. Not only would the Spirit be with him, but Paul would too. Join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. And there stands Timothy on the edge of the water, thinking about it, wondering if it's too cold, scared, but wanting to join Paul in the water, wanting to suffer for Jesus, just as Jesus suffered for him. Come on, Timothy, Paul says. The water's fine. You get used to it. Trust me.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.